Technological superiority has always been an important advantage for the U.S. Armed Forces. Leading technology starts with research. For the Navy, research is the purview of my next guest here at the Sea Air Space Conference at National Harbor. Dr. John Burrow, Deputy Assistant Secretary of the Navy for Research, Development, Test, and Evaluation. Dr. Burrow, great to have you on.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So why don't you begin by telling us, what are the top three or four research initiatives or priorities for the Navy?
Yeah, I think, there's a number that we're focusing on, but some in particular I think of note. One is directed energy. That's being able to take some of the advanced technologies that we've developed over the years, bringing them together to deliver weapons and other capabilities associated with that.
So that's where something destructive goes through the air, but it's not a projectile.
That's correct. That's correct. The second is another one of note is some of the autonomous systems that we're working on. In fact, you've probably heard the emphasis we have on unmanned systems. Unmanned is a part of it, but autonomy is something that really goes beyond unmanned systems.
And so unmanned is where there's somebody with a joystick and can see the device or the platform on a screen. Autonomous, it sets its own course.
That's correct. That's correct.
So that's a bigger technical challenge.
That's right. And there's a lot of good science and technology that's starting to be developed and matured that'll really inform that as we start to move forward. The third is really electromagnetic maneuver warfare, which really concentrates on capitalizing on controlling, directing the electromagnetic spectrum. And then, of course, cyber is a big deal for us, and will play a lot in our research and both in helping us develop capabilities from a number of different perspectives. And, some pretty neat research that's going on is in bio-inspired. Things that are out that, you see in the environment, whether it's seals and seal whiskers or things of that nature.
Not Navy SEAL whiskers.
No,
but the ones that bark and throw balls in the air.
That's correct. We're doing some good work on that. And I think, over time, that science will pay off for us.
And the CNO, Admiral John Richardson, has put out his plan. He calls it a design for naval dominance. How much do some of the precepts in that design affect what's going on in R&D?
Well, certainly when the CNO speaks, it shapes a lot of our investments. And his intent is to accelerate a lot of capability, getting it out into our operational forces faster. Our investments in the S&T and our research and development are driving towards that end, but also trying to learn very quickly on what we can do in terms of both technology and engineering innovation, transitioning that very quickly into the operational forces, and thirdly, understanding the operational concept and start to employ it in such a way.
And for the Navy, where does research end and engineering and systems design start? And on the research end, how much of it is really what you might call basic research and how much of it is applied?
Yeah. Well, I don't want to get too technical on you in terms of how you define it, but the science and technology element is what we call 6-1 through 6-3 investments, budget activity investments. And that's really the basic research, starting to identify technologies and see how they start to mature in anywhere from 6-1, 6-2 to 6-3. The engineering and the prototype development work begins in what we call 6-4. And that's taking those technologies, integrating them together to build some capability. And then eventually they feed our acquisition pipeline. And so everything from basic research all the way to test and evaluation is included in the research and development phase.
Hey, let's go back to that one you mentioned, electromagnetic warfare maneuverability. What does that mean exactly? Because I think spectrum control has always been part of what the military forces try to maintain and jam the other guy.
Yeah. One, it's battle space awareness. What's available, how is electronic magnetic spectrum being used. One is to make sure that We have assured command and control between all the platforms within the battle force, whether it's Navy, whether it's Marine Corps, or whether it's Joint. And the other is, you know, our ability to use it in such a way that can give us offensive and defensive capability.
So there's a cyber piece of it, and I guess the autonomy, for example, would depend highly on that electromagnetic spectrum dominance, because that's the way autonomous vehicles and platforms communicate with one another.
Yes, exactly. I think one of the key points is when you talk about a research area, you can talk about it in terms of it being a separate research investment. But in order for you to deliver the capabilities that our naval forces need, both the Marine Corps and the Navy, you have to look at this from a bigger system perspective. I mean, it all integrates together in order to deliver the capability, and it's all interdependent.
We're speaking with Dr. John Burrow, Deputy Assistant Secretary of the Navy for Research, Development, Test, and Evaluation. We're here at the Sea Air Space Conference at National Harbor. And what about the interdependencies among the different armed forces? Your partners in the Air Force and Army and so forth also have research and development offices. How much cooperation goes cross-platform in that sense?
There's actually a great deal, certainly in the science and technology and with my counterparts in the Air Force and in the Army. We have community of interest where we, the science and technology community, share ideas, share investments, share the results of the research that we have. And I work very closely with my counterparts in trying to identify investments that they're making that the Navy and Marine Corps can capitalize on.
All right. And what about outside partners? Who are some of the big research outfits or development outfits that are important to your particular office?
Yeah. Well, one of the most important one is our Naval Research and Development Establishment. And it's the Naval Warfare Centers, the System Centers, of course, the Office of Naval Research and the Naval Research Lab are kind of integral, foundational to the work that we're trying to do in a research arena. Our affiliation with the universities, the academia community, is important for us. Certainly small businesses and the people that are represented, the companies that are represented here today. We also have a global outreach through the Office of Naval Research that we can capitalize at the international level on some of the research that's being conducted there. So a key point in this is that there's no single organization that you can depend on. It's really the collective capability of both our academic community, our government engineers and scientists, and certainly of industry, both small business, defense, and commercial.
And so for the research and development and science and technology functions, what's your human capital requirement these days?
Well,
people.
Yes, world-class scientists and engineers is absolutely essential to what we're trying to do. And with that comes an investment in the infrastructure and the tools and capabilities that they need in order to perform that function. We're looking for people that are not only technically astute, but also people that are willing to leap, to take risk, and to push the envelope in terms of capability, both operationally and technically, because I think it's a marriage of those two that will ensure that we maintain a maritime superiority.
And do you find that the Navy seems to present itself as an attractive employer? Are you able to get those people?
We are. In fact, some of the work that we're doing is in what we call 219 investments in our research and development community. It allows young people to go off and explore their own ideas and concepts. And recently we had a demonstration of that in the Pentagon, and it was just incredible in what these young men and women are able to go do. And we give them hands-on opportunities. We allow them to come in very early and give them good, challenging work, kind of leading edge, but also a direct link with the operational community that they can learn and develop over time to align their investments and their technology and research with the needs of the sailors and Marines.
Dr. John Burrow is Deputy Assistant Secretary of the Navy for Research, Development, Test, and Evaluation. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you.
And we're speaking at the Sea Air Space Conference at National Harbor. Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click Share with Friends.